SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Warwick Thornton's film The New Boy has won the Spotlight Award at the 38th American Society of Cinematographers Awards, and I'm pleased to say Warwick has just joined us on NITV Radio to give us some insights into the significance of winning this 90th accolade and the film itself. Warwick, first of all, congratulations, and how does it feel receiving such a high recognition as a cinematographer?
It's a beautiful recognition. It's an affirmation of the 30 years I've been a cinematographer. It was interesting when I first started as a cinematographer, as a camera assistant, the American Society of Cinematographer had a little red book that had, it was kind of like how to shoot a film with a camera. I had a very old version of it, a second edition version of it. And I read that book, must have been about four times, and it really gave me a really good foundation on the technicalities and the craft of being a cinematographer. And this book I've kept for 30 years, and for now to win this award from the people who made that book, the society in America, it's an incredibly beautiful feeling.
Yeah, so you read the book so long ago, and now you're being recognize, kind of reaping the fruits from using it. Now, the film producers highlight the universal message behind the film, The New Boy. Can you delve deeper into this message and how it transcends cultural boundaries?
I can explain it, but it'd be better if people bloody watched it, because it speaks for itself, film, you know what I mean? The way I make movies is I don't have right or wrongs, and I don't have answers. I only have questions. The film devolves, the crisis of faith and how Christianity is a colonizer, how Christianity has killed so many beautiful cultures, languages, dance, music, because its concept of who it is, it's there is only one God, and that is their God, and everybody else's creators or gods are either evil or not real. So that's what the film divulges into,
You work with Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists. One very remarkable one, Aswan Reid, and The New Boy marks actually the acting debut of Aswan Reid, who has gone on to really get very strong recognition. He just took an Actor 2024 award. Can you describe the experience of working with a first-time actor and how you nurtured his talent?
A lot of the characters that I write are quite unique, and I love actors. I love actors. I don't want to piss off any actors, but I couldn't for a character like him, the new boy, or a lot of the characters in my films, I need real representation. If I write a film about a community, I'll cast the children from that community, because they have a much better understanding, and they've already gone through the journey of that character. So I always try and find foremost a human from that community, rather than getting an actor from Sydney or Melbourne or Perth, to actually play a role that actually there's already people in the community who can play that role. They actually have a lot more knowledge than me about that character. They know that character better because they've lived that character in a strange way. So it's more important for me to find that truth with a person rather than getting an actor and then going through this whole journey of trying to find that character and getting that actor to learn that character. It's easier for me to find someone who's never acted before and build up their confidence in front of the camera and let them just be free because they know that character better than me. Yeah. So, someone like Aswan, who's never acted before, he understood The New Boy right from the beginning when I read the script to him. He understood the character more than me because he's lived that character. You know what I mean? And almost like by him being on set, he goes to an orphanage in the film, but, in real life, he goes to a film set And it's almost, it's not an orphanage, but it's, it's kind of like he was living the character on the film set while playing the character in the movie.
And on top of that, The New Boy was filmed in South Australia. Can you tell us about shooting the film there and how shooting there contributed to the authenticity of the story?
I do a lot of driving from Alice Springs, where I live, to Sydney for work. I'll go down to Sydney for 3 to 5 months when I'm working on a film, in post-production, the edit suites, the sound, the color grading. And I don't like to fly. I'd rather spend 3 days driving than flying for 3 hours. I think the journey is part of the adventure, and jumping on a plane for 3 hours, it's incredibly painful. But driving for 3 days through country, through other people's country, you know what I mean, through different language groups, just really empowers me and makes me think a lot. So I drive a lot to Sydney, and I drive back from Sydney to Alice Springs when I finish my post-production. And I drive through towns, from Broken Hill to Burra, Corn, all sorts of strange towns. And I've always loved the landscapes, even though some of them are sort of just horrific because they're just wheat fields now. And that they used to be beautiful seas of Merlong and Gidgee forests, and it's all been ripped out. And now there's just wheat or barley or canola. But in a strange way, wheat and barley and canola have their own kind of magical spiritualism in a strange way. You know what I mean? They're sort of like they're an invasive species, and they're sort of like they are the pure image of colonization, to see fields of this stuff rather than Merlong or Gidgee forests. You use that to your advantage. And so in the film, it's set in a place called Burra in South Australia. It's all wheat fields. It's a very different kind of landscape to what the new boy, the character, is used to. So we use that in the film, and it's incredibly romantic but tragic in its own way. Sort of that colonized concept of the landscape of wheat and barley and canola.
Wow, so while traveling, you also pick up ideas on how to weave the landscape into your storytelling. Now, The New Boy features distinct visual styles. Can you discuss your creative approach and how it also completes the music by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis?
The film is about the clash of faith. It has a spiritual, connection. Whether you're a Christian, you'll understand it, and whether you're Indigenous, you'll understand it. It doesn't matter what spiritual connection you have to the country or to whatever faith you're into. I think you can understand it, but we did dwell a lot on, sort of biblical images, the Caravaggios and those kind of very famous Italian, sort of 12th to 14th century painters. So their form of composition we used a lot in the film to give it that sort of a resonance of spirituality and connection to that. I looked at, I'm from Central Australia. We obviously have sand paintings, the way we do paintings with dots and, concentric circles and that. And I was trying to work out how to put that into it. I never could, I didn't understand how I could feed that into the image. There's a lot of arches in the film, which are sort of like that sort of that connected place you see in paintings, Indigenous, mainly in desert stuff, of that sort of U-shaped arch is generally, it's a meeting place or someone sitting or connection, someone, a human connecting to the country. So they were in then, but they were always sort of obliterated, those kind of thoughts and concepts of Indigenous iconography, in a way, were always obliterated by the cross, and the arch would always turn into something more Romanistic in a way, rather than it being an Indigenous iconography. So it was difficult to tackle that sort of stuff, but I had a go. And the Christian image always stood out in the front. I just had to relax and go, all right, the Christians are getting the image, but maybe they're not getting the heart of the film, which is more so, the new boy and his Indigenous connection and his spirituality. It's funny, and then you bring in Nick Cave and Warren Ellis, who are incredibly beautiful, famous musicians, singer-songwriters, from from The Boys Next Door to The Dirty Three. These two have done some incredible stuff around the world. And they moved gently into composing music for films. And, you know, Nick's an old friend. Warren's an old friend. I said to them, come and make this movie with me, do the music for them. And I don't even think they read the script. They just started putting stuff together. It just was so beautiful. You know, I told them about the film. You know, this young boy is pulled out of the desert by himself and he's dragged into a monastery, and then he meets Jesus on the cross and he thinks Jesus is alive and he's very scared of Jesus. And I said, oh, that's enough. We'll start working with that. And they made that. So the soundtrack's incredibly amazing.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came just those emotions that I thought, you know, the fear of a new landscape, a new language, a new religion being thrust in front of you, you know, that those kind of ideas, kind of that's where they just got those key emotions, and then they used them to actually create the soundtrack. And I'm incredibly grateful to them because the soundtrack is incredibly powerful and it really does push the film's, you know, emotional and the arc of the film, which is really beautiful.
Also, as a producer and star of the film, Cate Blanchett attended the awards ceremony as your guest. How was it working with her, and what was her impact on the project?
Well, I have a fear of big star actors. You know, they scare the hell out of me. I get really nervous around them, and, you know, she's incredibly scary, but she's incredibly beautiful in nurturing and helping you and confident, making you feel confident, which I really like. You know, I mean, it's just as directors, you know, they're the crazy ones standing in front of the camera. You're supposed to support them, but then suddenly you're working with Cate, and as a director, you're trying to support them and empower them and keep them really confident and comfortable about the character they're playing, and, you know, because it's their face on the screen, it's not you, it's a director behind. And it's interesting because it became more of a, she started supporting me. It's like, isn't that beautiful? You know, she was looking after me more rather than I looking after her. She's incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly smart, incredibly scary, and just so fantastic to work with, you know. As a producer, you know what I mean? Her and her husband, Andrew, incredibly supportive. The other producer, Cass Shelper, who I did, you know, Samson and Delilah with back in the day, she's incredible. You know, they have a really, you know, between Andrew, Cate and Kath, they have incredible knowledge of script and arc and, you know what I mean, and how, you know, in the writing process, where to get the film to a really good place to actually shoot it, you know what I mean? That's where the power of the producer comes more so for me. You know, there's all this sort of magical witchcraft that they do to find money in a way. You trust that they can find the money, but the real power of a really good producer is in helping you with the script and getting it into a good place. And when you're really hitting brick walls with your writing and you just can't get that character to bloom or to collapse, or their arc is just completely wrong, that's when good producers like those three come in and they actually help you. Writing's incredibly hard, and, you know, I'm not that great at it, but when you've got great people around you, you can become great because they support you and back you up. And they make you just get too clogged and blinkered in your characters, and suddenly you need those people from the outside, those creative producers, to help you actually to see, you know, the forest from the trees, or in an indigenous way, the tree from the forest. You know what I mean? It's kind of, they're incredibly amazing. And, you know, and obviously on set, working with Cate in front of the camera, and her and Aslan got on like a house on fire. And Aslan would ask her 1,000 questions every day about why. Why are we doing this? Why are they doing that? Why is Warwick asking us to do more takes? Why do we have to hit that mark on the ground? You know what I mean? He'd ask her 1,000 questions and she'd answer every single one in this beautiful, elegant lit way. I think he learned so much from her, which was much more empowering. You know, one of the things about Aslan is winning that actor award. I didn't care about any of us winning any awards. The only award I actually did care about was the one where he won. When he won the actor award, I was just like, right, that door is open now. The world is his oyster. He needs to walk through it. You know what I mean? But it, for a small 11-year-old child who's probably feels like me, a bit of a fraud in this industry, who probably thinks that, you know, this is just going to happen once and then he'll just go back to the community. Well, he can do anything now. You know what I mean?
And he's collecting awards. He's just cleaned the actors.
Every time he looks at that award, he'll go, I did that, I won that, and I was really good, and I can be really good, and I can make more movies. That's really empowering. That's the special thing about winning awards, in a way. For an 11-year-old child to win that, it's like, I can actually do this, and people believe in me, and, you know, my peers have given me this award, so I think that was really, really special.
Yeah, great complementarity and synergies with Cate Blanchett. Now, the movie is yet to be released in North America. Do you have any insights into the release date and strategies to reach greater audiences once there?
It's an interesting conundrum, North America. No one wants to buy it. No one wants to release it. It's you know, all my films have been released in America except this one, and I'm going, I wonder why. And I'm like, well, maybe there's just a bit too many Christians there who don't like
challenging their viewers, maybe.
Yeah, they don't like what I'm telling them. You know, there might be, I don't know what the hell's going on over there. No one wants to buy it. More for them, you know what I mean? If they want to be blind and blinkered to Indigenous storytelling, that's their fault, not mine. You know?
No, maybe it's too early for them. It's too early. In 10 years' time, they'll rediscover it.
I don't understand them. I think, there's 300 million Christians in America, and I think this would be a good film for them to start a conversation if they watched it. You know what I mean? But no, they don't want it. So it's like, okay, cool. No way.
Yeah.
That's more your loss, not mine.
Yeah. Now, as a filmmaker with a focus on Indigenous narratives, what do you hope audiences will take away from The New Boy, especially in terms of cultural understanding and representation?
It's just trying to start a conversation. That sort of concept, that blinkered concept of Christianity or capitalism or any religion not being able to share the air and the space and the ether around us, not being able to share that with other people, with other religions and other spiritualities is what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? You can't be blinkered. And it goes the other way around, you know, like with the Jokopo and our communities and our spirituality, you know, we've shared it with Christianity, but it seems that no one wants to share with us. And it's a really bizarre conundrum for me. And I just don't understand. How long do we have to give? How long do we have to keep giving for someone to, you know,
to listen,
give back? You know what I mean? And that's what the film talks about. You know what I mean? With a blinking of an eye, you know, 400 different languages, which, you know, in this country, it's 400 different real connected to country spiritual connections. You know what I mean? And within a blink of an eye, Christianity can just erase something, you know?
Yeah.
Not allowed to sing, not allowed to speak your language, not allowed to dance your dance, you know what I mean? And then, you know, over two generations that dies, well, it's sleep, it goes to sleep, it doesn't actually die. You know, that piece of spirituality. And it's kind of like they need to recognize those wrongs, because we're doing a lot of giving, but no one's giving back at the moment, I think, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, it's a sad thing. But, you know, that's the kind of cinema I make, right? You know what I mean? I make movies for me. I make them for my people. And there's a lot of questions and not many answers in it. But those questions are almost for white people to ask themselves and find the answer in themselves. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the questions that I create, Aboriginal people know the answers, you know what I mean, to them in my films. I make a lot of questions for the Aboriginal people who watch them, you know, all around Australia. They had the answers to those in a way. But if you're a white person and you watch my movies, you might have the answer as well. But a lot of people wouldn't even think about asking the question first. And if you can get them to ask the question of themselves or of the community that they're in, maybe they can find some answers. You know, so, you know, that's kind of how I make movies.
I guess the first challenge is to get them to sit down, watch the film, then start reflecting, and the conversation can start from there. Now, the new boy showcases a powerful indigenous story. What are your aspirations for future projects, and how do you see yourself contributing more to indigenous cinema?
I think I might have done enough by now, but I don't know. I don't know where I'm going at the moment. I'm writing some more films, and you know, there's a little bit of anger in me about some certain things that I want to write about. But I'll turn that anger into an energy, and that energy will turn into love. You know what I mean? I kind of, you can't write a movie just purely pissed off and angry. You know what I mean? So it's a long process for me. I'm homeless at the moment, so I need to buy a bloody house. Maybe I'll go and make a Hollywood movie so I can at least have a roof over my head that's mine. That would be nice. One day that might happen. Because, you know, the movies that I make, they don't really make that much money, but they keep me alive and they keep food on the table.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of process. But, you know, I've got about four or five scripts happening at the moment. And some are ready to be made. Some are really badly written by me and they need to be rewritten. And I need to think a lot more about them. You know what I mean?
I need
to think more about the characters and the reason why I actually want to make this movie. And then when I get those answers, they're the questions I need to ask myself about my writing. When I get those answers, I think I can rewrite those movies to get them in a better place and know really why I want to make them, you know. And all of those movies are not for money. They're for myself or for my people.
But they need to be art. That's another thing. It's a double-edged sword. Well, they need to be art, but not being able to sustain
it. Yeah. You get someone like Kate Blanchett in a movie, you know, it's sort of like she has a very big power base of fans and that around the world who love to watch her movies. You know, the film sold in England, like all through Europe.
Yeah.
It's sold everywhere except America. You know, it's a strange conundrum that way. Anyway.
Warwick Thornton, thank you very much for taking the time to give us some insights into your movie, The New Boy, and winning a prestigious recognition at the 38th American Society of Cinematographers Awards. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, that was a beautiful conversation. No worries. Thank you both.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.